Hello and welcome to another episode of the Never a Straight Answer podcast, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm your host Gaz, and joining me in the studio, well, rumour has it, he spends his time up in the Himalayan mountains looking for inner peace with a wise Yeti. All I know is my co-host is Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, good evening everybody. Welcome, welcome. I like the smell.
Good evening, indeed.
Indeed, indeed.
And welcome back to another week. It's Christmas.
It is.
It's almost Christmas.
It is indeed.
This is the unofficial Christmas show.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Merry Christmas, everybody, and hope everyone's having a great season.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for another week on the show.
Yeah.
So whether you're a repeat jingling bell offender,
yeah,
or
keep repeating,
you're just coming in on the sleigh for the first time, welcome along.
Welcome, welcome.
Well, this week we've got an excellent episode. Trying to think Christmas there. Trying to think, like, you know, what can we do?
That's true.
You know, I don't want to do your typical Christmassy stuff. But,
yeah,
you know,
we've been there, we've done that.
We've been there, done that. But, like, thought maybe something different for your Christmas ears. So we're going bit more cryptozoology with the abominable snowman.
Oh yes.
Well, not just Yeti. Hey.
No,
the Yeti, also known as the abominable snowman, is a legendary ape-like creature that's said to inhabit the Himalayan mountains of Asia. The term Yeti is derived from the Tibetan word yete, which means small man or like animal. Did you know that? The creature is often described as being a large... Well, it's not a small man then, is it?
Well,
it's being large, man. Covered in fur and resembling an ape or bear. Yeti sightings and folklore have been reported for centuries up in the region of the Himalayas.
Yes.
Ooh, let's have a look into that a little bit later on in the show.
Ooh, yes.
But
I hope so.
First off, I've got some information for you.
We have some great information.
It's all standard.
Yeah,
we're all about the good. We're all about, you know, good energy, good well-being, and good focus, good you know, stamina, good just all the good vibes.
Oh, good.
Well, we'd like to introduce the four productivity seekers out there.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're tired of the midday slump. And you want to stay focused and energized, we reckon you should go and unlock the productivity potential of our new sponsor today.
Oh, yes.
Magic Mind.
Magic Mind, yeah.
Magic Mind is the ultimate productivity supplement.
It is, indeed.
So imagine a blend of the world's most natural but most powerful ingredients, carefully crafted into a drink that enhances not only your mental clarity, but boosts energy.
Good.
And elevates overall productivity.
Good.
You'd be like, what?
Yeah, that's what you need.
That's exactly what you need. Well, with this unique combination of nootropics and botanicals.
Botanicals.
Yeah, right. Magic Mind is designed to support brain functions and provide sustainable energy. Yeah. So throughout the day. So, do you know, like, gives you, rather than drinking 20 coffees, which I usually do.
Yeah, same.
Right,
man,
I've been using this Mind Magic, and generally I don't need to drink that many coffees. I feel like I'm kind of like, I've got that energy boost throughout the day continuously. When I try one in the morning, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I just tried one a minute ago.
Well, he's saying it was a bit, citrusy.
Very citrusy.
Wake you up in the morning, that stuff. It's a unique, combination of nootropics and botanicals. Mm. Magic Mind is designed to support brain functions and provide energy throughout the day.
Yeah.
So say goodbye to those caffeine crashes and welcome to a smoother, more focused you.
Yes.
Mind Magic, it comes in a handy little bottle as well. So, do you know, if you're kind of on the go, that it's perfectly, it's like a ready-to-drink format.
Yeah.
Also, so if you like, if you're tackling a work project or studying for an exam or something like that, then obviously Mind Magic is for you, because basically it gives you a productivity boost, ups your productivity game, and enhances the magic within.
Good. With the right amount there. Well, not too much, not too little.
Not just too much, not too little, but just the right amount.
Yeah.
Well, customers wishing to try this, we've got a fantastic offer for you. Because if you do subscribe to Mind Magic, you will get off 56%.
Whoa, whopping.
That's massive, 56%, yeah. By using the code NEVER20 at checkout. But if you just want a one-time purchase, give it a go. 20%
yeah.
off.
Yeah, definitely worth it.
I think it's well worth it. Yeah. I've been, like I say, I've been drinking this now for a couple of weeks, and it's like, woohey. Actually, like the days I try it, or the days I have it,
yeah,
I find I get a lot done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Do check it out. There'll be a link in the description. Thank you so much, Mind Magic, for working with us.
Thank you.
Yes, take it easy.
Yeah.
With a bit of Mind Magic.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, we'll be talking a bit more about them a bit later on in the show, I'm sure.
Sure.
100%.
Hell yeah.
100% productivity.
Yeah.
Suggest that, you know, I will.
Well, that's true.
I'm
that's
so
true,
focused.
That. Yeah.
And I can't not, kind of, really. Anyway.
That is very true.
This week, we're talking about Yetis.
Yes,
we're also talking about Christmas.
We are.
So before we get into all that, what have you been up to this week, Mr. Taylor?
Me? I've been into some boring legal jargon,
legalese,
basically.
What have you been looking at? What's legal? What's on the legal agenda this week, Mr. Barrister Taylor?
The 12 presumptions in court. Basically, when you walk into court, there are 12 presumptions against you. Well, actually, it's not 12 no more. It's more than 12, we believe.
When you say presumptions?
Meaning, like, when you walk into court...
They presume you're guilty.
Yeah, that is
straight
one of
away,
them.
That is one of the presumptions they make,
yeah, I think
I'm
that's
assuming.
Presumption 12.
They presume that you're from a council estate.
Yeah, that's it. It's that kind of stuff.
Presume they well are lower life forms than the judge.
Yeah.
Probably not. Probably.
It works out. Well, basically, they work for us, but they also work for a private sector as well. So basically, it goes against each other. So it should be thrown out straight away because they're going to gain.
They are. And then basically, if you've already got a bias, it should be thrown out anyway.
Straight away. But like the first one was like the summons. Like, you know, when you first get a summons to go to court, that's actually an invite. It's not actually an order that a lot of people don't know.
I don't think I'll attend the party today.
It is an invite
because the court will, it helps your case generally if you turn up court because... If you can argue your case or, you know, it looks better, but if you don't turn up, the court hearings will still go on.
Well, not if you reject it.
Without your attendance.
Not if you send on the back of it and return to sender rejection because they're inviting you to come to court to give them money. So if you reject that with a letter stating reasons for the rejection... they can't actually take you to court.
Okay.
That is the first prone to it.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's... Well,
rejection!
And then...
I know all about that.
Like when I say, you know, you're an executive. Well, actually, number 10 on it is actually... means, in the French word, it's pauper. And that actually comes across... as you're not the executive, you're a fake executive.
I was about to say that, you know, one of the things that the presumptions would be that you were poor.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why if you say you're an executive of a trust, then they will automatically state that you were a pauper without telling you, so you can carry on with what you're saying, but you need to state as well that you're not a pauper. Well, basically walking.
I am not a pauper.
I don't take any of your presumptions straight away.
So is that what you say? You go in and say, I presume nothing, Judge.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you actually turn up, you can turn up as a visitor or you can actually turn up as the person to actually stop what's going on.
like a solicitor or?
Well, no, like you're a private, I was going to say citizen, but you're not, because that comes under legal.
I'm a private man. Company.
Yeah, I'm a private.
I'm a private man living here in my sovereign nation.
Yeah, basically, you're just telling them that, look, I don't believe in
it's all
what
a
you're
bit,
stating.
This is the thing, though, because it's so kind of convoluted that anybody went to court and started trying to spout this, they'd go, what?
Well, this is...
They probably don't know the law anyway themselves, do you know what I mean?
This is the thing, people have been out there and they have tried it and it has worked, but there are certain things you've got to do it in the right order. If you don't have... If you...
This is what I'm saying, and most people don't. It's because you're still talking basically about the straw man stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, basically.
Fair enough. Well, there you go. Well, that's what you've been up to.
That's what I've been up to. What you've been up to?
Oh, this and that.
This and that.
You know, this and that. Nothing worth talking about or writing home about, to be honest. It's just like I say, it's Christmas, isn't it? But I feel like Christmas is cancelled now. I'm cancelling Christmas.
Yeah.
Bad enough.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people... I don't want to be sounding grinchy, because I do actually love the Christmas season, but I think it's just cancelled now. Can't be bothered.
Yeah, I think it's...
It's too much. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, whatever.
It is. And it doesn't help with, like... Shops selling straight after, like, is it Easter?
Continuous party on here, down here on Earth, isn't it? It's like,
Let's sell more products, bang, bang, bang.
Easter, then as soon as Easter eggs are off the fucking shelves, it's what's seasonal after that?
Even before they're off the shelves, paddling pools.
And then as soon as paddling pools are off the shelves, we've got Halloween, then Halloween goes into fucking Christmas. One continuous Mardi Gras.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
It's just get your wallet out.
Yeah, right. I'm not being bar humbug. I do love Christmas. But, you know, it's been a bit of a shit year. It's been one thing after another.
Yeah, right.
And do you know what? Frankly, I'll be glad to see the back of 2023.
Let's see what 2024 brings us first before you say that.
Oh God, don't even go there.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Who knows?
I've got my fingers crossed. I'm ever an optimist in life. Do you know what I mean?
You got to try.
But other than that, what have we been up to? Just been doing a lot of like videos and stuff. Do you know product videos and whatnot? Really doing a lot of shoots.
Little shoots. Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's been all right. Not too bad of a week. We do apologise because we weren't here last week because I kind of had a cold.
Yeah.
And we was just
sort
one of those.
Getting one now, but
it was one of them where it was just like everything was against us, wasn't it, last week? So we just went, nope. We'll come back next week all fresh.
Yeah. If we're bringing it, we're bringing it fresh. And
if we're bringing it, we bring it large. Yeah. With extra fries and a big Coke.
And a milkshake.
Well, milkshake, Coke, whatever you fancy, really. Anyway, moving on, to the mythical Himalayan mysteries that obviously a lot of people have bumped into.
I wouldn't want to,
but a lot of people seem to have. Yeah. So as I say, the Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman, legendary ape-like creature. Most key points about the Yeti. Yeah, is obviously its appearance, which is described as most descriptions of Yeti's appearance vary, but the common features include a large hairy body, human-like face, and a height around 6 to 10 feet. Some accounts describe a bipedal creature, whilst others suggest more like an ape-like posture. So, what do you reckon? What are you thinking?
Well,
in terms of appearance, I mean, I just go off what I saw on cartoons when I was a kid.
Well, yeah. But
big, white, hairy, abominable snowman type dude.
But I when I started looking into it, there is so many names, so many bloody names for it.
Well, go on, give us some
of the
names.
And so many, there is actually loads of different descriptions, but there are
five. So like I said earlier... The word Yeti actually comes from a Tibetan word, yentan, which means a small man-like animal. But, I mean, like, what other names? You've got Abominable Snowman, Yeti, I'm assuming a Bigfoot.
No.
Bigfoot not even come into
half of these
it.
Names I won't even be able to
right, come
say
on, do your
properly,
best.
I
come
think.
On, get your pronunciation tongue on.
Right, well, there's a 4.5 foot, like, monkey kind of...
he's
small
a big monkey,
kind
man.
Of monkey thing. It's called a Tai... I'm
a Tayama.
Yeah. Then your usual, like, 6 foot Yeti one is after the word Yeti Tai. Then there is like a big bear type kind of one, which is called a Zutai.
Okay.
Then the biggest one, which is 14 to 20 feet, is called a Neemo.
A Neemo?
Yeah, a Neemo, but I've even got loads more, like a dreamer, which is like...
They call me a dreamer.
He's like a Bigfoot, but on all fours.
But he's, then, he's often got his head in the clouds.
He has.
Yeah.
And then you got a
Come on, spit it out.
Chutuai. Which, to me, it looks like a tiger.
Okay.
A hairy tiger. Yeah.
So would that no not tail. Be like a Bigfoot's pet?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's possible.
I don't know.
And then you've got a Mai Tai.
A Mai Tai?
Yeah.
That's a drink.
Yeah, I know. Which is like a small monkey, like a, you know, spider monkey.
Okay.
Something like that. And
bring me a Mai Tai.
Three are actually group animals. They're not actually singles. Which was a funny one. But then...
When you say group animals, they hang out together?
Yeah.
You're well, talking there you go. Like, it's his pet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it must be because you don't... Usually, when you're talking about a Yeti, it's a single one on its own and stuff like that. But there's stories of that's the males, but the females are more kind and soft.
Oh,
basically.
Bless.
Because there was actually a story...
They're keeping... They're not all gone all fucking, like, money hungry and looking for, like, you know...
looking to tear
footballers'
up
wives and all that. They don't want to be wags or anything like that.
Because it's actually a...
Good on him.
Tibetan story of a man who walked from India to Nepal, and on his way there, he slept in a cave where he could see Mount Everest. And an actual Yeti fed him and looked after him until it died. And then he took the arm and he also took the scalp of the head. And they're actually in a place in Nepal now.
Ah, right.
Supposedly,
okay.
That is the actual same creature that actually looks after this guy.
Okay. Well. Going into more attributes of the Yeti, I mean, the Yeti's supposed to inhabit the remote snow-covered regions of the Himalayas, including Nepal, Tibet, and is it Bhutan?
Yeah.
It's obviously a natural creature, lives in harsh conditions, apparently, caves it's not exactly warm, is it, in the Himalayan mountains?
Well, no, but apparently in wintertime, they come down. That's where most people see them in the wintertime. They come down the slopes because it's too cold up there.
Do you think?
And they have no food, and there's more food down.
So
down
is this why most
layer.
Of the sightings are happening?
Yeah,
because
I
would have said, like, you know, their habitat would contribute to the mystery of the whole thing. But you know, obviously it being it's obviously got a hidden habitat somewhere that is not seen very much. So.
Well, yeah, but you see mountaineers and that see a lot of footprints. And yet you ain't going to have someone who's going to go up there just to do footprints and then go back down.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
If you're a serious Yeti hunter.
Well, possibly. Well,
I mean, if you were, I mean, there probably is people out there because obviously the cultural significance of the Yeti is obviously deep ingrained in folklore and mythology.
Yeah.
To the Himalayan people, but obviously worldwide.
Yeah.
It's described as a mythical, but obviously mythical being. But obviously people have sort of spiritual connections to it as well.
Yeah,
to know locals, they kind of feel like there is a spiritual beliefs surrounding the creature.
Yeah, it's good luck to see him, apparently, well, but it's bad luck as well.
Well, yeah, and it's obviously become a big part of popular culture worldwide. Yeah. So, you know, the idea of this creature, I mean, this is the thing, we talked about different creatures like dragons and Bigfoots and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And, you know, we always say, you know, when there's this much kind of evidence and this many people saying the same thing, there must be some sort of root in truth. So,
yeah,
you know,
you can't have smoke without
missing
fire,
links or
even
something
if there's
like
a
that.
Little bit.
Obviously, the legend of the Yeti gained a lot of international attention in the 20th century, and Western explorers and mountaineers such as Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay reported finding large footprints in the snow, that was during expeditions to Mount Everest.
First
there was reports sparked more interest in the creature, as well as scientific, you know, exploration. There was a lot of kind of scientific kind of research and people wanting to know.
Yeah.
But obviously the scientific perspective, whilst the Yetis remain popular subject in folklore and mystery, the scientific community generally regards the legend as, you know, there's no concrete evidence.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
Just because there's not concrete evidence.
No,
don't
I know, but
and real,
despite numerous investigations, you know, they've not really got any conclusive proof, such as remains or a live specimen.
Well,
you know
they have
I mean?
Got that hand and the scalp, and I would have thought they would have been tested, but I would have thought as well the Buddhist monks wouldn't let them test it.
Well, again, it does fall into cryptozoology sort of creature like a Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster in terms of, like, you know, its elusivity as well as its, you know, the idea that we've not got any concrete proof to suggest that it does actually exist.
Yeah.
Going into, like, you know, sightings of the air, right? There's been many over years going through the Himalayan region. Whilst these accounts are very detailed, there's often, you know, include a massive ape-like creature or a bear-like creature in the rugged mountains. But the thing is, no one's ever really got any clear photographs. Well, there's lit a few, but, like, no one's really got... It's the same as Bigfoot, isn't
it? It's, like, it's the same situation, really.
You get a blur. But there's been many expeditions that have been carried out where they've said they've seen seen something. Going back as early as 1921, this was Howard Berry and Lieutenant Colonel Charles Howard Berry. Yeah, so expedition led by. One of the earliest reported sightings was in 1921 when a British Mount Everest explorer, Berry, and members of his team reported seeing a large footprint in the snow, leading to speculation about the mysterious creature. Going into 1951, British mountaineer and Eric Shipton took photographs of large footprints during his expedition. Then in 1953, on a historic 1953 Everest expedition, led by the first successful ascent, was Sir Edmund Hillary. Their team reported finding huge footprints again at a high altitude. Then there was the 1954 Daily Mail expedition, where this was organised by the Daily Mail and led by journalist Ralph Lizard to search for the Yeti. The expedition was led and found led to find hair and footprint samples, but subsequent analysis could not actually identify any link to any sort of primate.
See, we've got to think as well of, you know, when they send them off to these scientists to have a look, it, like, was there any interruption on that? Because if you think about it, if there was something there or is something there, the governments wouldn't like want that to be out in a kind of way, because
as a scientist, if you go out to discover something, is it good enough that you know the truth but the rest of the world's not allowed, because this has been covered up, or is it a case of that they are actually telling the truth and they didn't find anything, but they wish they did?
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally.
In the 1970s, there was a Japanese expedition, claims they found footprints and photographed them. Whilst they believe it was they were Yeti tracks, they found finding, like many others that were met, obviously their findings were met with scepticism, like many others.
Remember one, what is it, 1912, a Scottish businessman going to Lepore on a train, and he looked out the window and he believed he spotted one walking across like the mountains.
That's one of those, though, because he's moving at speed, so it's like it's whether
Is it an actual tree? Because there was actually a video not that long ago that come out that military helicopters were going over this area, and this person was like saying there's something on top of this mountain, yeah, and like a communication base or something. But then they stated that there was something next to it, it looked like a big, like, you know, a giant kind of thing. So then they had more and more people were questioning about it, and it turned out it was actually a hoax.
It was a total hoax,
especially
there's
now.
There's a man in a big suit on the mountain.
Yeah. And you have stuff like 328 AD, Alexander, and there's a scripture out there that tells stories about wars that went on and his campaign on his war campaign. And actually on one of them, he was stated that they fought these big hairy faced giants, and there were hundreds of them. But then later on in the scriptures, you read it, it actually states that they were actually men. They weren't actually anything like that. But people bring that forward to say that.
Well, this is the thing with a lot of these, you know, with... okay. Well, what's more exciting for your troop of army men to go back to camp, or back to headquarters and say, we've just been in a battle with 50 men who were like, they weren't even men, they were like beasts.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
And then that gets blown out of proportion. And generally, it was like, really, they were fighting normal men.
Yeah, right?
But,
they were wearing coats.
in the stories of battle, you want the most impressive story. What's more impressive, that you fought off 50 beasts or 50 men? Do you know what I mean? So I can understand why these stories get blown out of proportion.
Yeah, but that ended up being fake. That's one of the fakes that have been out there. And same with the Russians as well. Apparently the Russians, and it was supposed to be documentation of the Russians fighting them in 1925 and 1945. But it ended up that there's actually information out there stating anything like that, That's been taken away from the public.
Well, I mean, these are all old school sightings, but I mean, what's happening recently, I mean, despite, new technologies and, increased exploration, reports of Yeti sightings continue to emerge. Some individuals claim to have seen the creature or its tracks, whilst others insist that they encountered a large unknown animal in the Himalayan wilderness, and they don't know what it was. Obviously, it's important to say that, you know, it's the scientific community still remains sceptical about these things. But obviously, Yeti tracks, you know, they seem to be a thing that they do kind of find often. I'm wondering if the photographs of all these Yeti tracks taken so far apart in years, if they were able to...
And if you were fake, you would have found other tracks next to it.
Look at these tracks and say, these are identical to the last ones we found. Do you know where they're a similar shape? Or they're just totally different. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure these things would be needed to look into. But
there is a story, an old story as well, about how there was hundreds of them. And then the local villagers got together and gave them alcohol. Got them all pissed, and a lot of them like fell off cliffs and stuff like that.
Christmas.
And that's why
they fell off cliffs and stuff like
that's
lemmings.
That's why there's not so many.
It was like a big lemmings game.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of evidence that do support or, you know, supposedly supports Yetis, obviously footprints are the biggest, probably one of the biggest
I still reckon the skull cap and the hand.
Well, again, I mean, is this actual
evidence? You can actually see it to this day. They're in, like, cabinets. There's photos of them and there's...
we'll have to have a look for those.
But
I'll post
think
them on
because
Insta.
The monks may not allow it because it would be a... probably a dishonour or a bad voodoo or something, you know what I mean?
Well, these footprints, obviously, however cool they are, could belong to other animals. Other animals in nature, you know, do have kind of, you know...
Well, looking in the Bigfoot thing.
Big paws, but, like, you know, whether they... You can say, well, there's an animal like that that lives in these conditions... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's white native to these sort of freezing temperatures.
Wouldn't you
or
think
whatever?
There'd be something like a polar bear or something like that? Maybe. Because there is a thing of, like, bears put their foot over claws over their back track, so it looks like a bigger track
paw.
Than it is.
Yeah. Well, hair samples as well. Hair samples have been collected, claiming to be from Yetis.
Yeah.
They have been analysed. But all results have shown that they've not really been known to be from any animals like a bear or any other local wildlife. So,
all right, so
that is kind of inconclusive.
Still unknown then, yeah.
Photos and videos, various photographs and videos have been taken over the years, but the quality and the, you know, the clarity of such evidence is obviously sometimes questionable.
Oh, shit,
many images. Are inconclusive and have been, you know, proven as hoaxes or mis identifications. So whether they've kind of gone, nope, it's actually this, or, you know, this is actually a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where they can tell for 100% sure.
Or even two guys, or I'm helping a guy and he's on, like, I've got him over my shoulder and I'm trying to lift him, take him back down because he's like, he's not got any oxygen or something.
Well, again, and we're talking about eyewitness accounts, but obviously eyewitness accounts contribute to the folklore and are subjective, do you know what I mean? Some people, like the guy on the train, might have been whizzing past and thought he saw something but didn't, you know, so obviously eyewitness testimonies alone aren't really considered reliable scientific evidence, unfortunately.
No, but if there was a big bunch of people... And I would
well,
say...
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, if a Yeti came walking through the city centre, but in this day and age, mate, nobody would bat an eyelid. They'd just think it was a really clever costume and somebody was just walking through town going to a party or something.
That's true, because I'm just thinking of stuff like, you know, UFOs that have been spotted, like, not just one or two people, like thousands of people, and then it's still not recognised as there was something there.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, what would it take for the acknowledgement of anything like this to be kind of brought onto the table? Because at the end of the day, no matter what it is, it's going to be put forward and there's always going to be a level of skepticism from a majority or a percentage of the community.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Even if they turn around and go, we have aliens, here they are, there's going to be some guy going, fake, that's not an alien, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Same
well,
way.
You
and I mean,
he's
probably even worse. Do you know what I mean? There's got man in a suit.
Oh, yeah, that's
look
it.
Look how good the drumming gorilla looked on the Phil Collins Cabri advert. I mean,
hey, that's true.
I mean, that looked real legit.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's
so
true.
It's like
that's
I can true. Turn around and go fake.
Yeah.
All
especially
day.
Now, like, there's so many ways of making fake stuff.
Do you think, like, these types of creatures do exist in the wild? Like, they're just very limited, there's not very many of them? Or the thing is about, like, you know...
big chance, I think.
Well, no, but it's the thing about population, right? Yeah. So, like, say if it got to the point where there was, like, one or two Yetis left, right?
Yeah.
Then, at some point... the population would boom or die out, right?
Yeah.
So they'd rather be, over years, there'd be more Yetis, there'd surely be more sightings because, you know, like, there'd be more...
Well, we didn't till the 19th century.
Funny, actually, because we didn't actually do anything. There was the human race as a kind of, like, in terms of...
population boom.
Population boom, like you've just said. happened when farming
became exactly.
thing. Yeah, so it's like, but for millions of years, they were, or for thousands of years or whatever, there was like a steady 7 million people on the planet at one point, and then it went to like 70 billion.
Yeah, and it was like
overnight.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So in terms of like, you know, but what I'm getting at is, so even if there's like a couple of yetis, then you'd think that over the last, say, 100 years since we've been noticing them, that they would be more sightings, because that's
but we don't know how long they live.
Well,
and we don't know them kind of aspects. I mean, they could be a quite a like a quite a big population. Let's say 1,000 of them somewhere that we haven't visited.
True.
You know what I mean, there's plenty of places in the world where we do not know.
I mean, actually, I mean, 1,000's quite a lot considering there's wildlife on this planet that is less than that, and we don't even consider
700 elephants or
something.
And we
don't, and still don't consider them an endangered species. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So, apparently, elephants we won't be seeing in about the next 11 years. There will be no elephants left.
Well, we need to sort that out.
Yeah, totally. Well, it'd be interesting for someone to actually bring the evidence forward. I'd like to see the day, but then what are we going to do if we do find out that there is some other kind of species out there? The first thing we generally do, as history's shown, is we go out there and hunt it.
Yeah, true, yeah.
So
that's,
end up getting the military
getting
in there and hunting it, bringing one down, right, we've got a specimen, we know blah, blah, this, that and the other. Right, let's capture one. So see what it's like in certain its own environments or something. So we're on it. So to be honest, keep hiding. You know what I mean? That's its best chance to survival.
Apparently, yetis can weigh between 200 and 400 pounds.
You don't want that sitting on your head, do you?
Sitting on your head. They do. I mean, they are often kind of like portrayed as like kind of aggressive, really, aren't they?
Yeah, but if you think about it, no one's actually had proof of one. If they weren't
so
aggressive,
that actually, yeah, they might be
really
nice.
Would go up to it and go, right, give us a bit of your hair, give us a bit of your DNA. Here, let me take a photo with my mate. You know what I mean? So, in a way, it's doing what a natural animal would do anyway, defensive.
True.
But he's doing it on. He's doing better than any other creature on the planet.
Actually, yeah, because they're elusive, aren't they? So they're basically doing a very good job at hiding.
Yeah,
which is
exactly.
cool.
And for all we know, there are things like down the road that live there, and we'll never see them until we get either the technology and stuff like that. Don't forget, our eyesight only sees to a certain degree, so certain things are going to be out of focus, where so you could state something like ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it could be added onto that.
Well, here we go. In 2010, there was an unsuccessful expedition. Some hunters found a hairless, four-legged creature.
Oh,
they said it was a yeti.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be a small hairless cat.
A cat.
Yeah.
It had lost, in the mountain.
Yeah, it lost all its hair from disease.
Oh, right.
So
I'm surprised it lasted up to 1,000 feet or something.
Yeah. Well, what do you think a yeti would eat?
Berries or stuff like that, or flesh.
Well, apparently, yeah. This I don't know where they're getting their information from, but no, they probably steal food, but also they probably prefer mosses, frogs. And pine stuff, alpine.
But you know what? You know what the problem with that is? That it won't have as much energy.
Well, they're supposed to be slow moving, pretty kind of like.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to tear up, you know, a couple of people who've seen you or took a photo or whatever, you're going to have the strength, and they are muscly. So I would say that there have to be a meat institute somewhere along the line. Unless at a certain amount of people that are disappearing.
Well, as well, in 2017, a Danish professor, Dr. Charlotte Lindquist, studied 9 samples of Yeti evidence and DNA, and testing shown that none of it traced back to any bears or any local wildlife.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I know we were saying about the hair earlier, but that's 9 pieces of evidence, and none of it could be linked back to anything.
All unknown.
Yeah, it was all unknown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a really good strength of evidence.
That is quite good evidence, considering they couldn't... it's not actually giving you the answer, but it's a good indication of that it's not anything that you think it might be.
We've had any DNA, because we have a collection, we have a massive collection of DNA of everything on this planet. But yeah, some things are going to be missed, obviously, because we haven't seen everything or got everything. But I'd say that was a massive piece of evidence.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. I hope we've answered all your questions about Yetis, abominable snowmen. I think I feel like I know a bit more now. In case I run into one, how would you defend off a Yeti if you had to? But saying that,
what speed did they go?
We don't know.
Yeah, that's
we don't know
thing.
Anything about them. They could be fucking rapid, mate. They could be fucking
Jaguars.
Or they might just be 70 slow as anything. Do you know what I mean? Be living off berries.
But I'd say, I think there has to be a meat institute.
Well, I bet, do you know what? What they would need to do, if they were drinking mind magic, then I reckon that he would be well on the ball.
He'd be running around that mountain.
He'd be
like,
well on the ball.
Yeah. Oh, he will.
Thank you again to Mind Magic for looking after us in this show. Looking after our health and well-being.
Our mind.
If you want to check them out, there will be a link in the description.
You will.
Well, thoroughly enjoyed that topic anyway, but we do have some shout-outs to do.
We do.
For subscribers to the show. And been a couple of new subscribers this week, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Big shout out to John or Joe King. He's such a good guy. Louisa, big shout out to you.
Hello.
Mans, thanks so much for the support. Terry, appreciate you. The Black Nun. The Welsh Dragon himself.
Oh yeah.
Thanks so much for the support. Continuous support. The guy's a legend. Vicky, thank you so much for your subscription. The Ginger Guitarist. Yeah, he's supporting us. Michael, thank you so much as well.
Michael.
Josh. Appreciate the love, dude. Also, Erda.
Erda.
And Ben. Erda. Thank you so much, guys. You're absolute legends. Continuing to support. You can subscribe to extra content over on Spotify.
You can.
But we also do have extra content over on TikTok as well. So go and check those out. Become a subscriber and get our absolute admiration and love.
You certainly do.
Forever and ever and ever.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Yes. So moving on. We do have some news.
We do.
I do believe that's coming a little bit right now. It's a news. Oh yeah, it's a Christmas news. Christmassy Christmas news.
Jingle.
That was the jingle. The jingle bells. Well, why this $20 note sold for nearly 20,000 times its fucking original value. 20,000 times its original value. We always love how to make money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, bloody hell, that's making money, make money times 20,000. Obviously, it must have had a misprint or something. Do you know what I mean? People collect currency, we know this.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, how does a coin or a dollar carry more value than, you know, its actual face?
Because there's an error on it, mostly.
Probably, yeah.
Or it's the last one of its kind.
So take, for example, the Wisconsin State Quarter. This was produced in the US Mint 10 years. It basically, they had a 10-year state quarter program. It was about 453.2 million Wisconsin quarters minted. But obviously, if there was one that had a misprint or whatever, or it was a low run, then obviously that makes the
value higher.
It was an error on basically on a $20 bill, which increased its value nearly 20,000 times. So the story goes, a college student in Iowa went to an ATM machine and withdrew the cash during the summer of 2024. Yeah.
Yeah.
They received what looked like a normal $20 note.
Yeah.
Only to find it had extra greenery.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So it had a Del Monte banana sticker.
Yeah. What?
Here's how you can tell if you've got if it's got the banana sticker. Yeah, right. So
Del Monte, he gets everywhere. I thought so he was
basically
just a fruit man.
It had a Del Monte sticker, right, on the note, but it was actually printed on the note. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the Del Monte sticker here. You can see it on this note. I mean, I'll post it on Instagram, but it's actually really, but it kind of goes over you know, Andrew Jackson's face. Well, it's next to his face. You know, the same year, a student turned a profit on the bill, selling it for around $10,000 on eBay.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He had 12 bids according to the reports. Some believe the sticker was intentionally placed on the $20 bill by an employee of the Bureau of Engravings.
Yeah.
Right. But nobody knows. Right, but obviously this is now gained notoriety. People want the Del Monte sticker note.
They do. Don't blame them.
So, it's fucking ridiculous. So now it's ended up making a record-breaking sale. So this is a $20 bill that's the most valuable error banknote ever sold.
Oh.
Yeah, right. And it sold for as much as $396,000.
Jesus.
Yeah. There was nearly 50 bids for the banknote.
Oh.
But the winning bidder ultimately had to pay through the nose for $20.
Yeah, for a $20 note.
That's like giving money away. Yeah. Seriously. Totally. That's like, because it had a sticker on it. It's crazy, isn't it?
That is mad.
Yeah.
Mad crazy.
So unless you've got one of these unique errors on one of your notes, obviously, like, or a sought after serial number, then your money's just probably worth what it's worth. But you know, in these rare instances,
You can get lucky and get that nice.
Get lucky ain't the word, mate.
Yeah,
not ain't the word. Anyway, have you seen any news? I thought that was a nice little opening. Someone's made a killing on that.
They have. And actually, I've got a bit more on money.
Money.
I'd like to thank everyone who's using actual cash at the minute because, as we know, or you should know by now, cash has gone up 7%. People are using cash more.
Good.
And governments are really pissed off because it's not going to their plan.
Good.
At the minute.
Do you know
and
the
I'm
thing about money?
It.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like...
it's a debt, basically. That's what it is.
Well, I know. But, I mean, I'd rather have the promised paper in my pocket than just a number on a machine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that can be tacked or taken away at any point.
It's been quantitatively eased up the yin-yang.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That money doesn't even exist anymore.
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
I'd rather have a physical thing in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly. If that, then, it used to be gold, didn't it? So you actually need something, not like something on something else that you can't even touch. You know what I mean? It's mad, but that's made me really happy this week about hearing that.
Yeah, well, the thing is about, like you just said, something that you can actually touch. Because, I mean, like, you know, if there is a problem somewhere down the line, then, you know, numbers and digits.
Exactly. Carrying an event, bang, easy.
I mean... and it's easy to say, oh, it's all backed up. But, I mean, what happens if they turn around and go, your backup's not here.
Yeah.
And you've lost millions because some behind a computer says, I can't see a record of it.
You'd be happy, though, if you gain a million.
Do you know what I mean? If you got it under your bed, you just go, wait a minute.
I'm counting it 1 minute. No burglars coming near me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, well, thank you for all you paper chasers out
there. Yeah, keep paper chasing. Going up.
Do you know when things are kind of like taken out, banned? Banned books is one of them. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
I know we were talking about Bigfoots and Yetis earlier, but Beowulf.
Beowulf.
Yeah, which is a classic novel, book, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it right. Is. That was taken out of the Pennsylvanian Library.
Yeah.
Yeah. 54 years ago. Yeah. I know. They took it out, basically.
Jesus.
Well, no, somebody...
must have been a good read, or they couldn't read properly for a while.
No, right, no. They missed... Right, so, it was checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's not banned. Yeah, right. So I've got that wrong.
Right.
Yeah, but it was checked out on in January 1969 and wasn't returned till this month.
That is I'll give it to him.
Well,
no,
welcome. Late
off.
Fees, though. The book was overdue and accrued nearly 1,000 in fines.
That's about as many as the pages 5 cents in there,
per
probably.
Day since the 1960s. Jeez. Oh, yeah, seriously. I wonder if they had to pay it. I wonder if they... I'd drop it and run.
Or could it have been something left behind?
I'd just run. Nobody noticed it was gone.
No
one. Do you know what I mean? Well, they mustn't have until somebody dropped it back.
Yeah, exactly.
So then to turn around and go, oh, we've got our book back, thanks, but you owe us a grand.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
No, no.
Anyway.
I wouldn't go back.
Yeah, the book's returned now anyway. I did find this one, which was another weird one.
Yeah.
This is a dolphin. Yeah. Is a very rare dolphin. Extremely rare indeed, actually. It's been photographed off the Greek Gulf in 2023, July. And according to experts, it's got thumbs.
It's what?
It's got thumbs. Basically, they say it's got thumbs, but do you know on its flippers?
Yeah.
It's got kind of like an extra appendage where, like, so it looks a bit like a bottle opener.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But they're saying the thumbs. Strange dolphin on the Gulf has developed intriguing hook-shaped thumbs.
It needs to scratch itself.
Carved out of its flippers. And is this a new species or what? I don't know.
Could it be damaged? That's
it's both sides. It's like a genetic thing. So obviously it's mirrored on both sides.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not exactly like it's just had an accident and one of its
flippers has been damaged.
Damaged
a bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's it definitely looks like it's
it come.
What
it
what's
was
the
designed.
Word now? Do you know? It's symmetrical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's the very first time it's been seen, and obviously they've never seen anything like this in the open seas, studies have shown. So, like, they've basically took photos, and, they're like, wow. They'll be using an iPhone next.
Well.
They are intelligent, won't they? It's
well,
like,
yeah.
Writing memoirs.
Yeah.
Have you got any other stories?
I have. As I was saying through when we were talking about the Yeti, about population... Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk have stated that human population needs to be a lot bigger than what it is now.
They said it needs to be a bit smaller.
I know, not that long ago. Yeah, I know.
What if we're going to have enough drone people to work in Amazon?
Yeah, they want at least... Now, this was the big figure that got my head. They need it. You need at least for us to survive in space and beyond... 1 trillion people on Earth. How the fuck? We can't even cope with 8 billion plus.
I know what I mean? That's stretching resources,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, so on one hand, they're saying one thing, and on another hand, they're saying totally the opposite. It's like that fucking 12, that judgment thing.
Yeah, it's totally. Mad. I mean, well, this is the thing. I mean, who do you believe?
I think it's because it is
and
a
just
plummet.
Because, wait a minute, what bugs me about these things is just because the guy's got money, right, we go, oh, we must know what he's talking about then.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's bullshit,
yeah.
Right? I bet there's fucking loads of people who've got no money who talk way loads more sense,
right,
and have way better ideas. It's just because these people...
need extra slaves.
Need extra people to work in the Amazon warehouse. Yeah, right. That doesn't mean anything to me. I just don't understand why people like that have such a great opinion on what the planet and what the people should be doing on it.
Not only that.
And where the future's heading. I mean, they've got a stake in it because they own a lot of it. Is that what the
situation
is? Well,
they're
going
to have a big stake of it because there is a review on... how many jobs are going to be left
when the robots take over?
Yeah, basically.
Well, Elon's just releasing his fucking new robot, hasn't
he? Exactly. And they reckon 50% of jobs will go. So what happens to them trillions as we're making a trillion load of people? What?
Oil robots.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Or they haven't even got a set up to set us in another on another planet. You know what I mean? So it's a case of you're leaping before you've actually set plans and actually set things out and properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just on the cheap, you know what I mean? Because it's not going to be cheap. It's going to take a long time to do.
It's going to be a lot of people sat on their asses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then
or is it to build the ships?
You can't moan that there's no jobs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because
you're just making it that way.
Exactly. Exactly. So they gain profit in both ways. If anything, them two will be like in charge of the bloody whole universe if they get the chance by the way they're doing this. Are they a criminal mastermind? Or
maybe that's it.
Are they?
Wait, this is how this time next year we'll take over the world, Pinky.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, you know, make
Pinky
up your
in the
mind.
Brain.
But it must be one of the reports must be wrong, or he's saying, or it's been taken out of content. So that's all. That's the only thing I can
think
of.
What's that movie? I've just got sidetracked then. Do you know what's that movie where like they get the Christmas tree and like he's got a squirrel living in it? Is it like National Lampoon's?
Yeah.
Similar things happened here, you know.
Oh, right.
There was a family got a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And it's a Kentucky family, had a little surprise, a little something extra when they picked out their Christmas tree this year.
Ooh.
They called it, must find a baby owl.
Oh, a baby owl.
A little baby owl.
Oh, shit.
So Lexington residents, the Whites, told WDKY-TV that it's tradition for the family to pick out a Christmas tree every year. And this year seemed no different until their tree was in their home. 4 days later, they noticed something unusual.
They didn't hear it then.
Their three dogs were a bit kind of like, a bit weird
freaking
now.
Out.
Yeah. But a little hoo-hoo.
Oh.
Like, was literally a little owl was sitting in the lower limbs of the tree.
Oh,
just
nice.
Chilling. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, but what did he do with it?
It crawled up into the tree further, and it took him several minutes to find it. But you know, everybody's going to be able to have a Merry Christmas, and they've got it. They've got the
got it for dinner later.
Released
the next day.
The owl in the family's back garden. So
right. So they just released it.
Well, they must have just released it. Yeah. So you know.
I would have thought like a rescue or something like that. Because
just let it go, really.
Yeah, well, I suppose if it's going to get off and fly, well, yeah, let it do its thing.
Fly, my pretty.
Yeah, come on, fly. Whoops, it hit a tree.
Oh, no, I've seen stuff like that before, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, we've saved this butterfly and then the dog ate it.
Yeah, or a bird just swoops down and grabs it.
The bird you release, you've been looking after for months, and then you release it and it flies straight into the patio window.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Any other animals doing extremely funny things?
I don't think so.
No, have you got any other news?
Animals.
Just anything, really, yeah.
Anything. Oh, new pyramid found.
Oh, right, okay. Is this the Bosnian one?
Is an even older pyramid.
Oh, they find a new older pyramid every week.
It's surprising because it's been found in Indonesia.
Okay.
Which is island-based, as we know. And it looks like it is 25,000 years old.
Well, this is the thing, yeah. All these pyramids that they find, right? They go against what the natural, the history that's been presented.
Yeah.
So the Bosnian pyramid, they look at like, you know, previous mounds that they found, which were covered in grass. And, you know, this Bosnian pyramid seems to match up
to
these
a lot of
type
things,
of ones, you know, like it's a mound. It looks like a hill.
Yeah.
But underneath it, once all the grass and, you know, soil and stuff's been removed.
Like
there's a pyramid there.
Yeah, basically.
Right? There's been tunnels. They've gone in. They found like there are entrances to this Bosnian one. So you know, but what they've discovered is that predates any known civilizations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So obviously we can't talk about these because that kind of throws into disrepute all of the stuff we've been telling the kids for hundreds of years in school.
Well, the Mayans one were hidden and they were uncovered, but did you actually know that the Mayans didn't build it?
No, I don't know who built them.
That is the mystery because they actually just moved into there. They didn't actually build it.
Oh, well, that was handy.
New evidence.
They just discovered, like, some lodgings.
Well, if you were homeless, you found a shelter. Wouldn't you
well,
stay
there? Of
course
there? You would, wouldn't you? Yeah. If you found a big temple that, yeah. that was uninhabited, you'd be like, right, boys, we're moving in here. We've got, like, protection here from That's all it. The wildlife and everything.
Well, scientists have sprung evidence of human activity at the bottom of these pyramids. And, yeah, they've estimated the timeline between 25,000 years. So that, and don't forget, the pyramids that we... that are in Egypt now, they were only about 2,000 years old, maybe 3.2.
Maybe these Egyptian pyramids are only so prominent to us because they're brand new. They've not had a chance to be covered in mounds of earth and be buried by time and stuff.
But do you know, even the worst thing about it is... Scientists have known about this for a long while, but they have not let it out. They have not let it out, and that's what this new study is talking about, how stuff that we found and just left it, scientists are supposed to be looking into it to help us, or even, you know, show from the past, historians, show what the history was in the past, buildings and stuff like that. And yet they're covering it up because they're not actually letting the info out. So this is, I suppose, a step in the right direction of getting it out there and have some more digs down there and see if we can find any more evidence. And then we find enough evidence, we'll unearth it and find out what actually was going on 25,000 years ago.
Who knows what was going on back then?
Yeah.
Right, I've got a string of silly stories here.
Yeah.
Right, well, first one, it's not a silly story. Well, this one's my first story, but it goes... this is the youngest person to pass the California's bar exam.
All right.
Yeah, 17-year-old has now become the youngest to pass... the California bar at 17 years old.
Whoa, he must be clever then.
Well done to that kid. That's what we're going to say, do you know what I mean? Basically, he's now passed the state bar in California exam, age 17. The state bar said in an email to the Associated Press that it could not confirm that Park is the youngest, but he is.
He's broke the record.
Well, that's what they're saying anyway. Well done. I mean, that's smart ass, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the next... This is more of a Christmassy story, But it kind of raised questions with me. Yeah, right.
Okay.
So the Tesco's, where the best goes, apparently, has recalled Christmas stuffing mix
from
its shelves, put out an APB on the Christmas stuffing mix.
Because it may contain... Oh, yeah.
Wait for it. Moths.
Oh, extra protein.
Extra protein.
Extra protein now, in there. That's why they don't want you to have it.
So Tesco's recalled a batch of its Christmas stuffing mix, right? Yeah, due to the potential presence of moths in its product, right? So we were having a conversation about this because in the film Fight Club, Edward Norton's like, he's a risk assessor sort of thing, isn't he? So he works out if a car... on the road, if it's likely to have an accident because it's got a substandard axle or something like that, the engine's a bit dodgy, you know, how many people are likely to have an accident and make a claim?
Yeah.
And based on that figure, they work out whether it's more cost-effective to do a recall or just pay out. Yeah, right? So I'm thinking, Christmas stuffing mix, how many people must have bought Christmas stuffing mix? I mean... One moth gets in the batch, then no one's going to be asked.
Yeah.
They just let that slide. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like where it, and you know, if one person was unlucky enough to find a moth in the box, they'd just give them a voucher or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how many people have been affected by
a
moth? How many moths did you have?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? How many moths were in the packet in the factory? Do you know what I mean? Like
in so full station or
they
something.
Reckon. That it's only recalling a single batch, the Tesco's finest apple and cranberry stuffing mix, due to the possible presence of moths, which makes the product unfit for human consumption. Where?
I'm surprised.
How many moths can you have?
Because we're all allowed to, there's a standard, I think,
this
something
is,
like 1
it makes
two,
me think that there was a shit ton
eat.
Of moth got in that.
Yeah.
How has that many moths got into the fucking mix?
Yeah, that's
well, they seem to think that it was affected by one of the one of the ingredients.
One?
Yeah, well, one of
just
the...
Just one? They might have been a number of them.
I reckon, yeah.
How many times?
The ingredient they're talking about is obviously moth.
Moth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mothman did a little trick with him.
Obviously, don't... I mean, if you do find a bit of moth in your stuffing...
Or if you've got a stuffing.
It was labelled 98% moth.
Yeah.
2% 1% sage, 1% onion.
Yep, an extra protein pack here for you.
So a protein pack.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's extra protein, isn't it?
Well, the stuffing batch has been had the date of best before September 2024. So if you do have some Tesco's Finest cranberry and apple, I know, yeah. You said it tasted a bit dry, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a bit moffy.
The customers can return their 130-gram packs without a receipt for a full refund. I think just keep it. Just go, this
And then sell it in years to come.
With a little sticker on saying, now containing extra moth.
Hey. Someone would buy it.
Now with even more moth. Told you he had some funny, stupid stories.
You did.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
Florida man's been arrested. Not Florida man, sounds like that's his name.
Yeah.
Florida man, or like he's in a part of the Avengers.
Oh.
It's like Florida man.
Don't tell me he's in Avenger, is he? Or is he a DC?
He might be an Avenger, but well, no, he does sound more DC, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Florida man, what runs around the Everglades beating up crocodiles.
Yeah.
Stanley Williams, the Florida man in question.
Yeah.
He faces charges of grand theft and fleeing. When he stole an ambulance.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Florida man was taken into custody after stealing an ambulance and then driving it into the local sheriff's department.
What the?
In the release in a release, deputies said that the first reports were helping someone who was finding he had a basically having a mental breakdown after potentially taking drugs on the Saturday night. But then the reports started coming in that the ambulance had been stolen. After a bit of a police chase, he ended up ploughing the ambulance into the county sheriff's department building. So
what a shot.
So according to him, he drove across the front lawn before stopping near the main entrance.
Oh, he didn't go all the way through. Shame.
Well, he ploughed across the lawn.
Is that it? Just the lawn? I thought like you were going to talk about it going right in the building.
He might have gone into the entrance, but you know. Anyway,
that's a bit disappointing, actually.
I feel like of all the places to crash.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've just done the police's job for him, basically. Yeah, basically. They don't have to chase you. They just could get you out of the car and take you in the building.
Yeah, move the vehicle, get the gardener out, all
right,
sorted.
Okay, so my last silly story before we move into more sciencey-based stuff is a Chelmsford man, who has been banned from cycling, right?
Right.
He's been told you're not allowed to ride and operate a push bike. Yeah,
well, that's
right.
Bollocks for one.
You're on probation. Part of your condition is you're not allowed to ride a push bike, right? Yeah. So, the man has been now jailed for 11 months after travelling to his probation meetings by bike.
Oh.
Right, yeah, so Jake Carter was given
trouble,
a criminal behaviour order in November which banned him using a bike or e-scooter.
Oh. Would have been naughty on an e-scooter
in the Chelmsford
area.
Then he breached his order twice.
While
cycling to the probation service.
I gotta give him a thumbs up for doing it. To be honest,
you're on probation, bro. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I know. It's like, well, I'm coming to the meetings.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I know, but part of your probation is not using.
If I
said to you, you got banned from driving, and then you kept turning up here in your car, I'd be like, aren't you banned?
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, yeah, you obviously know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, right.
So if he's been told part of your probation is not to use an e-scooter or a bike, but then you're turning up to the place that told you that on a bike, don't be expected if they turn around and say, you're breaking it.
What,
you're breaking the law.
What fucking drugs are you on? That's what I want to know, because he's fucking with his head.
Essex police said the ban was had been imposed because of after he assaulted multiple women in the city centre after cycling up to them. So he was obviously cycling around town and attacking people, rather perverted or theft.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's using his bike to carry out attacks.
And getting away.
Yeah, an axe. Yeah. So, obviously, this is the reason why he weren't allowed on it.
Well, then he was a naughty boy, and I don't think he should have done it.
Jake, in the future, mate, get the bus.
Well, if you think about it, actually, a bit of good justice happened there because he flouted the rules and he's getting longer in jail, so... Yeah.
True, yeah. Well,
he's probably going to get longer in jail doing that
than the
first offence.
I mean, the first offence, it's like, well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because now he's got to turn around and go, what you're in prison, what you're in for? And go riding a bike.
Riding a bike, mate, yeah. What, is that what you call your missus? No.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, that's well, just my...
moving into more kind of weird news.
Here's what.
Go on.
A man called Colin.
He had to be called Colin, didn't he?
He did. He did. He was Colin, who's a cattle farmer. Was bitten on the foot by a saltwater crocodile, of vicious bastards. Then. And
it's not funny, is it?
It. Well, it was. It was for him afterwards, as it bit his foot. He decided, I'm not having this, and decided to bite the crocodile's eyelid. Right. And the crocodile was so shocked that he went for the eyelid that the croc just popped off, basically.
Well, so basically, yeah, because, I mean, this is the thing. It's like when they say bop them on the nose because it just shakes them up. They don't expect it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to bite its eyelid... That's some.
He's been watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
How
too
dangerous
much.
Can you be that you're going to actually go in for the bite?
Yeah, but if he didn't, it would have had his leg. That was the thing. That's what that was the first thing he thought.
Well,
he like,
saved his leg then, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, and he's come out with no long lasting injuries. So he got lucky there for a bite. He was a bit hungry that day, I think.
I think he did get a bit lucky. Oh, sorry about
that. Did.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you're ever in a saltwater alligator attack, just make sure you go for the eye, bite its eyelid, and you'll be all right.
Shut the fuck up.
Talking about water-dwelling creatures, this sea creature could fight cancer, apparently.
All right.
Looks like a turd.
What?
But it could fight cancer.
Is it a sea cucumber?
It is a sea cucumber.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a very distinctive sea cucumber.
All right.
That may contain anti-cancer agents, according to new research.
Oh, that's
good. So, yeah, it is a sea cucumber, but it looks like a mouldy sea cucumber.
Oh.
Great things come in all sizes, shapes, and packages.
We're actually finding quite a few medical in animals at the minute as well.
Well, this is it. Now we understand that, you know, the building blocks of it all. We can kind of break this shit down. But, I mean, it's weird that, like, you can find all these things in nature.
Yeah.
Scientists in the Philippines have detailed the secrets of the sea cucumber species that bears more than just a passing resemblance to something else. Big poo. The finding that these animals contain several compounds that could actually have medical benefits in humans, including anti-cancer agents.
That's mint.
See, cucumber, one of your five a day.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
Hey,
full of water.
I mean? Have a cucumber a day.
Those
sea cucumbers are definitely full of water.
Yeah.
Well, everything's full of protein to you, isn't it?
It is. Protein.
Protein
show.
Right, well.
Get the power.
Anything else you'd like to talk about?
If you are a morning person, it may be due to the DNA from a... I can't even say the bloody word at the minute.
Go on.
What were the other species that died out with us?
Dinosaurs.
No, a humanoid.
What? Reptilians.
No.
That died out with us. We're still here.
Well, so are the reptilians.
Right, okay, go
right,
on.
It looks like Neanderthals.
Neanderthals, they're still about.
The word. Yeah, well, no, this, well, in our DNA, yeah.
Well, no, but you can still see, like, apparently these traits of Neanderthals still in certain
people,
humans.
Yeah. But they found DNA from them... to connection between them and the morning person.
Morning person because you've got to get up to hunt.
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a big, strong, powerful beliefs of that now at the minute.
Really, that's it. Actually, no, that makes sense, actually. Yeah, I can get that.
Oh, like, I want to know, you know, where did we get the night?
Early bird catches the worm, isn't
it? Well, where did we get the night one from?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm a night owl.
Well, that's just because, you know, like, all right then. So, society, that's just a societal thing, right? So, basically, like...
Not necessarily.
Because, well, no, it is, because, like, all right then. So, do you think when we all lived in caves, there was people going, nah, I'm sleeping in till four because I'm more of a night owl?
Well, I believe there will be a certain amount, like today, who are night owls, who will go out and hunt at night because your species is sleeping at night as well.
Ah, fair play.
So
yeah,
you could take them by surprise.
For different reasons,
yeah.
They're not night owls because they enjoy the nighttime atmosphere, or they're like, you know, they
I don't
prefer...
mind it.
Well, no, because you live in a society where you're catered for in the evenings.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I could, if I wasn't, in fact,
most of our entertainment and sort of, you know, like social life,
yeah,
is in
the evening, yeah,
right, because we've manufactured our lives to be like that because we're too busy working in the day,
yeah,
so
exactly.
The only social activities we get in the evenings and on the weekends, right.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Why do you think daytime TV is so boring? Yeah, there's fuck all on in the TV on the daytime because people are working.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Why would you want to keep people entertained? So, night owls or people who thrive in the evening only happened, I think, because they catered for more. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They've got more entertainment. So it's sleep in the day and take advantage of those entertainment.
Definitely more of the population would have gone up and on the percentage of that. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. But I do believe that in our past, we did have
I'm
night
assuming
owls.
There would have been people who would have been like...
We would have had tribes who hunt at night and tribes that hunt in
the day.
But
that's still for a purpose. It's not because like they just find it easier or it's cooler or they've got a better advantage or whatever. But personally, if I was, you know, and we're going off basically technology that we've got now, being able to hunt at night time, whereas tribe people, right, they would take advantage of hunting in the day because it's lighter, they can see what they're doing, they can see if predators are coming, they can see...
Well, we've still got tribes now that I cannot think of one tribe that, I can't remember the name, but one tribe that do... go out at night.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure there is, but I'd say that majority of them took more advantage of the daytime.
Majority would, but then the aspects of that is like, well, you're getting an easier meal if they're asleep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They might not be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Talking about not getting an easy meal.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the lost tomato?
Yes, I have. Yeah,
the lost tomato, the space tomato that was lost. Lost tomato was found apparently on board the International Space Station.
Oh, good.
So this was a potato tomato.
Tomato.
You say tomato, I say tomato. This tomato was lost 8 months ago.
In an accident. Where the fuck's it been?
It's been floating around, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's what, in the corner? Or did you clean it up in there? I mean, you should have got the cleaner out.
Well, no, because this is it, right? Because there was allegations.
Oh, so someone nicked my tomato.
Basically,
and
ate the first of the tomatoes harvested in space.
Right,
right? So the members of the International Space Station crew, astronaut Frank Rubo, has been cleared of allegations that he ate the first tomatoes to harvest in space. He was, like, getting the blame. So NASA astronaut Jasmine Mogabele said during the live-streamed event celebrating the 25th anniversary of the station and basically said, the remains of the tiny tomato have been found 8 months after the misplaced, after being misplaced by Rubio.
So he's
still getting the blame.
He's
still getting the blame.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Our good friend Rubio said he's has obviously headed home, but he got blamed for quite a while for eating the tomato, but
was
exonerated when the tomato turned up.
Why, he still hid it.
He didn't hide it, he just misplaced it.
Well, that's his fault. It's no one else's fault, is it?
He said he spent many hours looking for that tomato.
Right. What, well, there was there's plenty of room there?
During the September ISS live stream. But he said he's sure, he looked everywhere. And he said he's sure it'd show up at some point.
Yeah,
and vindicate me years in the future.
Oh my
God. Do you know what I mean? But like, he wasn't bothered. He knew he didn't eat it.
Yeah.
It comes back down to the You know what I mean? Yeah, I know I didn't eat it, so you can blame me all
Tap
you want.
Tap on the nose, you know. I know.
You know, right?
You do.
So he did not reveal where the tomato was found or what condition it was in, but they did find it. So obviously,
there's another mystery in the bag. Conspiracy.
It would have been in a state of
I don't know.
Active decay.
Not necessarily. Well, that's.
No, because apparently it's humid on board, so it would have been.
Oh well, actually, yeah. If it was out in space, then we.
No, it was in the space station, wasn't it? But like at the end of the day,
So you're gonna have warmth and stuff like that. So you're gonna have heat. Yeah. So
I mean, another misplaced thing off the space station.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, was another thing that was misplaced was a tool bag.
Oh right. Yes.
So female astronaut accidentally dropped it.
Yeah.
Whilst in orbit, and it's just floating around now.
Yeah, yeah.
We can actually see it with binoculars.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, last month we could see it going over England.
The tool bag just floating around.
But it's still floating around, so we'll be able to see it at one point or another until it hits a satellite or something.
Oh, that's there for life now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know what? It was surprised, actually, because there's been a number of objects that have fell off the space station and it's floating around Earth at the moment. Tool bags, especially. That's the second tool bag they've lost.
That's true, actually. Yes, you need to be a bit more kind of careful with your tools.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
There's going to be a point when they're like, well, you need an hammer.
Yeah, well, what can we do if we haven't got an hammer?
I know, yeah. If I had a hammer...
Hammer in the morning.
Right, well, whistleblowers are doubling down their claims of Grish again. He said that, you know, we've been living a nightmare since making his testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously people are just harassing him about it all the time. And but that doesn't mean that he's going to back down.
Good
and
lad.
As he said, he's doubling down on his efforts. So...
Good lad. Love it.
Totally.
Love it. It needs to come out if it's true or if it's not, basically. Well, and it's sounding like it's true.
Well, again, but Congress have basically, Congress orders UFO reports released, but then drops out for border disclosure. So, you know, anything that's crossed borders, they don't want to talk about, apparently.
Oh, right, don't they? I don't know. That's a surprise, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Anything else NASA-related that you'd like to talk about?
NASA,
just anything, any more stories.
Well, Elon Musk's, rocket. I said a couple of months ago about how he's firing off some rockets in South Africa and he's making holes. He was making holes in the atmosphere. Now they've got proof he has been... making holes in the atmosphere. White red light's been popping through and the temperature's just they're getting these indications that the very short term, but if he persists, basically carries on doing it, then there could be a lot more damage in the long term. So he might have to change his methods of getting up to space by the looks of things. Or going somewhere else and doing it.
Okay, fair enough. I've just got this last one story. Mexican Congress are to hold a second UFO UFO Congress hearing.
When?
But it's going to feature the Peruvian mummies
heavily.
Good. So this came up from the 7th of November.
Yeah.
Mexican Congress held... heard from the researchers about the kind of
the results they're going to be bringing them out.
Like so they're basically looking into this now and they're going to be giving the findings on the mummies and what they're about. So looking forward to checking that out and finding out a bit more about that. Hopefully we'll have a bit more information about that in
Keep
the new
our
year.
Eye out for that.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Definitely.
But obviously... obviously was the moment of that hearing was when, you know, obviously they were, you know, brought the alien bodies out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we'll have to see what they come up with in that. Other than that, I think that's it for the news.
I've got one more. NASA received a signal from 10 million miles away.
That's fucking big news, bro.
Yeah.
That's big news. Why did you not mention that earlier?
Well, that's what I thought I'd mention it
Save
at the
it
end.
To the end.
Yeah, that's it. Best till the end. But they're using a device called the DSOC, which fires a communication HD laser out, and they've actually sent it out and got the communication back. So we can actually be able to communicate when we're in space in at least our solar system.
Maybe
a little further out. So our communication's getting there. Our rockets are getting there.
Whether anyone else says hello back.
Well, yeah. Well, this is it. When I first read it and it said they got the signal back, I thought, oh, right, you're actually finally getting an answer to a question. Is it going to be alien or is it just that something in space that's happened? But we're having a lot of signals at the moment.
Yeah, I know, but signals can be misleading because although we might think it's a signal, it could be like in radiation from a star a planet or whatever. You know,
and we only know so far, but we need to learn a lot more.
It's like learning language, isn't it, really?
That's it, man. That's
well,
it.
Well, there you go. Well, big thank you again to our sponsor this week, Magic Mind. Do appreciate you getting involved. Please
nice
do check them out. There'll be a link in the description as well as the code NEVER20 to get a massive 56% off your subscription
56,
or 20% off a one-time purchase.
Yeah,
do check them out. I highly recommend them.
Yeah,
we'll be back next week for another excellent episode. We won't be back next week.
It's Christmas. Yes, we'll be back the
Christmas. So we will be wishing you a massive happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll be posting stuff and we will be active over social media over the holiday season. So do feel free to get in touch.
Yeah.
We're available on all podcast platforms. So no matter where you get your podcasts, do check us out.
Big catalogue.
Well, you are doing, aren't you? You are. You're doing it now.
What?
Appreciate listening. You are checking us out. Well done, you. We do have a massive back catalogue, you're right.
Yes.
With over 5 years worth of content.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll find a topic that suits you or, you know, makes you think, oh, that
or
sounds all right.
If you've got a topic you want us to talk about, we're up for...
Definitely, feel free to get in touch. You can send us an email at neverastraightanswer@gmail.com or neverastraightanswer@outlook.com. Both work fine.
Yeah.
You can go to the website... and send us a message through there or check us out on social media. We're available on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. We're on the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Yes.
We're everywhere. Yeah. So check those out. Available on all podcast platforms, like I say, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio.
Everywhere. I don't even think, we're literally everywhere.
Literally
and
everywhere.
If we're not, tell us and we'll get there.
A numb bum.
I had one of them the other day.
I'm all right. I'll survive.
Yes.
We're finished now, so I can stand up and run around the room.
How dare you?
Well, like I say, we'll be back before the end of the year anyway, so we'll see you before the year is out.
That's right.
But enjoy your Christmas, guys, and have a great time. Drink, eat, be merry.
Yeah, have a good time.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
We'll be back next time. I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
Merry Christmas.
Everyone of ya.
Peace.
Out.